Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome in the name of Jesus this morning. Huh? Well, this morning we're going to go back to the very beginning of your hymn book. That is the hymn book of the Psalms. These were the hymn books of the early in Israel, the Jewishness, the Hebrew. They would sing these Psalms. And we mentioned in Psalm 24, I think they sung that like every Sabbath. And these others, I don't know when they sang what, but I was just thinking that we were in Psalm 32 last week, which is a great penitential psalm, but the first one I think we did was Psalm 5, and I thought, well, we'll go back and pick up a few, maybe all of them, I don't know, but there isn't a earlier start than number one. I said, if we don't do number one, we haven't really started, right? So I want to just begin in prayer and then ask you to sing just a closer walk with thee, because we'll be talking about walking this morning in the godly and the ungodly. I don't think there's one psalm that clarifies the two paths of the godly and the ungodly any simpler and greater than Psalm 1. It's just a good test to see where you're going to end up, where you are in life, how blessed you're going to be in this life, but much more important, where you're going to end up for eternity. As we read these psalms, it really reminds us to pray for the lost, because those on the wrong path and the wrong destination, we don't have to be reminded that it's not a good place, but we do need to be reminded in order to pray, I think. Well, Father, we thank you we can gather in your name. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for revealing your truth to us. And Lord, we thank you for the promise of the blessedness. Actually, blessednesses, really plural in the original, but the blessednesses of walking with you. And Father, we lift up those who are on the wrong path, the path leading to destruction in this life and in the hereafter, Lord, eternally, forevermore. So direct our steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over us, and lead us now as we pray this morning and first worshiping you with song and looking at Psalm 1. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a closer walk with thee.
Dear Lord, let it
So Psalm 1, the way of the righteous and the end of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Very familiar psalm. Many of you may have memorized that as a child. It begins by the word blessed. That's actually in the plural, blessednesses, really. Blessednesses for us. Blessednesses are, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And we have the progression there of walking, standing, and sitting, and walking with in the counsel. Now, the counsel is a word that means under the influence or being fashioned as. So if you're being fashioned as or under the influence of the ungodly, what are you being fashioned into and what are you become more like? You're becoming more like the ungodly. So you don't want to walk with them. Now, walking doesn't mean you sit down and spend time with them. It just means you're walking with them. Don't do that. Okay, now it gets worse. Nor stand. Now you stop and you stand in the path of the sinners. I was just thinking about it. It was kind of twisted mind, I guess. But I was thinking about two paths. One path has got rattlesnakes all around it, and the other path has nothing but, you know, flowers and sweet music around it. Now, which one are you going to go in? Which one are you going to walk? How fast are you going to walk through the rattlesnake path? Pretty fast, right? And then do you stop? Come on up, rattlesnakes. Yeah, come on up. No, but so the second standard there is don't stand in the path of the sinners, where they walk back and forth. Sinners, not just one, but many. Or now you're going to sit down. Sit down means you're going to stop for a while and communicate and get closer, right? I mean, you can't get close to somebody walking by them as you can sitting down with them. So you don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. What is a scornful? Well, one definition was by one commentator, I thought, are those who have a master's degree in being the devil and a doctor's degree in damnation. So don't spend time with those of the devil who have doctorate degrees in damnation, right? Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit down next to somebody. So who are your friends? Who are those who are fashioning your life? And what is fashioning your life? The communication in David's day was mostly face-to-face. But today, I don't think that's so. I think we're much more fashioned and much more influenced by what we hear or what we see electronically probably than face-to-face, right? Because we're hearing things all the time, and of course we're seeing things all the time that are coming into our hearts and our lives and influencing us. So we have this word but, which is that's a 180-degree change. But his delight, this is the blessed man, his delight, what, is in the law of the Lord. How much do you love his word? How much do you love worshiping him? How much do you love spending time alone with him? These are all kind of indicators of where you are with him. But his delight, not, oh, I got to read the Bible again today. Oh, I can't stand it. No, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, what? He meditates day and night. And of course, that's the word, as you know. If you can picture a cow chewing the cud, that's meditating. Bringing it back up again. And I mean, it's kind of gross for us in our digestive system because we don't like to see anything coming back up out of our system. But a cow's, they have five different stomachs. So they go from stomach to stomach. You know, the first stomach's going to handle all kinds of roughage and all kinds of problems. And then that kind of a way to get rid of some of that. And then it kind of gets a little better each time. But they bring it up and they chew it. And what are they doing? They're getting everything that they can get out of that nourishment. How much do you get out of this book? Well, you get a lot out of it. Just read it like we just did. But you can get so much more if you chew on it. If you bring it up and you chew on it. And you don't just chew on it for 10 seconds and say, well, chewed on that. Bye-bye. No, it says what? Day and night. Now, that's a figure of speech. It doesn't mean you're in the Word 24 hours a day reading it, because there's other things you're going to have to do. But it does mean that you have these verses, particularly if you put them to memory, and you can bring up any time. And when the Scripture says, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is virtue, think on these things. Think on the Word of God. Think on the Word of God. So every time you see something, oh no, it is so terrible, oh no, don't go there. Pray for them and think on the Word of God, right? And you can do that, or you can choose to continue to think about the bad things, because the Lord gives you that ability. And then what? He shall be like a tree planted. This is not a wild tree. This is a tree planted. This would be a tree planted because it is a special tree. It's a fruit-bearing tree. You're not just planting a wild olive tree, which has nothing but wild olives or whatever. But it's like a tree planted. Notice, by the rivers, that's plural. That is really amazing in the Middle East. It's hard to find a river, let alone more than one river. But if you're planted by more than one river, you're never going to run out of water. And water is always the scarce commodity in much of the world. So if you're planted by rivers of water, and we are planted by rivers of nourishment from our Lord and Savior, aren't we? We are planted by a continuing nourishment from the Word of God. There's never a shortage there. So, by the rivers of water, and then what? It brings forth its fruit in its season. Not just sporadic little olives here or there or whatever, but a crop that can be harvested. And have you ever seen an apple tree eating an apple? What? All the fruit of a tree is for somebody else, right? All the fruit of a tree is for benefit of others. It doesn't benefit the tree other than maybe feed the seed for reproduction. That's where all the nourishment stuff for seeds come from is whatever they're surrounded in. But we eat apples, right? We love them, but or whatever it is. But this tree then brings forth its fruit in its season. And you who are walking with the Lord, you who are in His Word and meditating, you're bringing fruit in your season. I know, and you're doing that for others. You're not bringing necessarily, you bring fruit for yourself too, but it's primarily for others. Whose leaf does not wither. You have staying power if the Word of God is your base. If you're not in the Lord, if you're not spiritually being fed, you're going to burn out so quickly and you wither. You start out like a, big head of steam and you're going to change the world, and pretty soon you're shadow boxing, and pretty soon your arms get so tired you can't do anything anymore and you're just done, right? But not so if you're being filled and fed by the Spirit, like, for example, this example of a tree who has roots going down deep into the soil and never runs out of nourishment or water, meaning that whatever he does shall prosper. So whatever your situation is, if you've got these roots down into the Word of God and being fed spiritually, you're going to be fruitful. The worse the situation is, probably the Lord will use that situation for fruitfulness even more than when you don't have the test. How many of our missionaries, for example, go to the mission field and they're there and they're healthy and they're strong and they're look rich to everybody around there, and they can't relate to the people because the people say, well, yeah, if I had what you had, I would love the Lord too, but man, my life is so tough. So when then the missionary ends up going through really a tough time, and her faith is strong, that really speaks to people, right? Much more than when times are just smooth. So then you can relate to that, and you can say, wow, I went through that, and I was freaked out, and they're going through it. Look how peaceful they are. Look how they're trusting in the Lord. Look how they're continuing to be fruitful to everybody else. Then we say the contrast. The ungodly are not so. They're not fruitful. They're not rooted and grounded in the Word. But they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. An agrarian background, this would be a very common thing because every year that's the way the harvest. They would drag this stuff over and rush the husks off, and you would end up with grain and husks, grain and the covering over it. And so they would throw it up in the air, and when it was get a threshing floor, which was usually on top of a hill where there's good wind, and the wind would blow the chaff away because it has no substance, it has no weight. It just, and that's the ungodly. They're lightweights. They're just fluff. They make a lot of noise, and they really get in your teeth if you try to eat grain with husks mixed in with it. It's hard to eat because it's all messed up. But they have no substance. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, consequences to the ungodly are eternal here. What are they? They're going to be judged. And they're not going to be judged for heaven. They're going to be judged for the place they've chosen, prepared for Satan and his followers, in a place we call Gehenna, which is too hideous to even really understand totally, it seems to me. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation. Now, our churches are full of sinners, right? But they're full of forgiven sinners. But the ungodly are not forgiven. They're not going to stand with the righteous because they have no standing. The only standing we have is Jesus Christ. And if we don't believe in him and we don't have him, we have no standing. Doesn't matter how good a life we live. We can be the best philanthropist, the best every day of our life. We do good things for other people. But that's not the basis of eternal life. The basis of eternal life is loving him. And loving him and wanting to be with him and believing he is who he is. And he did what he did. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And then the closing verse, for the Lord knows. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Everything about you, everything about me, the Lord knows. Good, bad, or indifferent, the Lord knows. Past, present, and future. Aren't you glad you have a loving God who knows your future? Because he put us in these bodies, I think purposely, that we couldn't handle ourselves without him because we can't see ahead, right? How good are you driving in an absolute total fog? Oh yeah, I can see. Bang. Oh, I ran into a tree or whatever. And that's the way we are in life. We can't see ahead, but he can. And so we want to trust ourselves in him, right? The Lord knows the way of the righteous, and he knows the way of the unrighteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, which is good, but contrast to that, the way of the ungodly shall perish. And these two paths here, as I mentioned, are not only in this lifetime, which is very important on how we live on a high road as the righteous or on the bottom. And a sinner living or sinners just keeps getting worse, right? There's no bottom to their depravity. And we see it all the time in what people do in that kind of a situation. But even much worse than that is the life. Maybe it will only last 100 years or whatever it is here on earth. But eternity is forever. And so the ungodly shall perish, meaning that they will not live with the Lord. They'll live apart from the Lord. They'll be in outer darkness, in a place of eternal torment. Father, we thank you for the clear teaching of your word, Lord, and for the reminders that we have from you. And Lord, help us to heed these simple but profound instructions, and help us to pray for the ones who do not and are not yet. Lord, thank us. Thank you for meeting us here this morning. And now lead us in prayer as we have these moments to pray together in Jesus' name.
This is my soul.
Father, you are great. We thank you. We praise you this morning, Lord. We thank you for meeting us here. We thank you for your precious word, Lord. We pray for the ungodly, Lord, that they would turn to you. We thank you for the godly ones, Lord. We thank you for the fruitfulness of persecution, Lord, around the world as has been prayed this morning. And we would pray that you would strengthen those backs that are being beaten. And Lord, you would use those witnesses greatly, Lord. Lord, may your will be done around the world, Lord. And may your will be done right here, right in our hearts, each one of us, Lord, as we would be fruitful, as we would love you, as we would love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.